This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Edge Energy Drink. Go to myedgedrink.com and order the only energy drink I enjoy because it's delicious, smooth, and has zero aftertaste. That's my kind of energy drink. It's the Big O's choice. Make it yours. Get the Edge at myedgedrink.com.
Alrighty. How you doing, man? Doing good?
I'm doing wonderful, man. Like I told you on Thursday, we're back here on Monday. We got an idea of what life looks like in the fall. Beautiful outside. Felt nice. Just took the dog out for a lap. You know, just typical Miami living.
That's right. But hey, listen, if you want, we can ship your ass out back to Buffalo for the winter.
Oh, I got to respond to that. My bad. I thought you were talking to yourself. That's on me. Poor communication. My bad. No, we'll be back in Buffalo. Let me see what the date is. I have the calendar pulled up here.
Don't even depress yourself with that. Don't worry about it.
Oh no. I love a Buffalo trip. I love going there when it's cold outside. I get to dust off my pea coat collection. I get to break the turtleneck out, you know, the high top J's and everything. I love it, man.
We understand you work there, so you have to, you know, give them a little love, and that's fine. No, but listen, all seriousness, prayers and lots of love and support to everybody in Buffalo, man, because a rough weekend this weekend in Buffalo, man. Just some unacceptable shit that went on and just the kind of stuff that there's no place for it in our society. So all kidding aside, and we have some fun with Buffalo and all that stuff, but Buffalo strong down here for everybody, man, and support to all the people up there, because that was just unacceptable.
Yeah, I was going to steer the conversation after that last note either way. But yeah, man, like I said, I'll always love Buffalo, man. That was in this career I've moved a lot. I had not stayed anywhere longer than a year before I got to Buffalo, and I was there for 2 years, which felt like a lifetime, considering kind of this nomadic lifestyle I'd adopted. But it's a community that means well. Of course, it has its problems. One of which, you know, it is the fact that it had one grocery store serving a gerrymandered, redlined Black community. And the fact that it's so well known that a man was able to drive 3.5 hours, 4 hours to take advantage of that fault. There's faults in every community. So don't get me wrong, but it's still a good community. It's still a group of people who, for the most part, really care about each other, really look out for each other.
We have a lot of listeners in that area, actually.
It's a fan base that has become famous for raising money for other communities' charities and other players' charities. And so and it's one that doesn't shy away from doing it for its own people. So, you know, I like the support that I've seen from within Buffalo. It hurt to see that wasn't my Tops per se, but Tops is my favorite grocery store over there. It was probably about 10 minutes away from where I used to live. So, you know, I don't particularly know anybody that was personally affected by it. I do know people who shop there. And I do know people who avoided going there that day by a matter of, you know, an hour or less. So it was a hard day, man. It was hard to see that.
It's a hard weekend, bro. Milwaukee, Laguna Woods, California, and Buffalo. You know, it was a hard weekend overall in America because the East, the Midwest, and the West were all affected seriously by gun violence. So it was.
Isn't it wild that it's something that happens so frequently and so widely in this country that, you know, I roll my eyes at the what about this shooting? What about this incident? I hate whataboutism, but it is crazy that it happens so frequently that we can legitimately miss major life-changing events for a community just because, you know, oh, There was another shoot. Oh, I didn't see about Houston because I was looking at Los Angeles. So I didn't see LA because I was still concerned about Milwaukee. I didn't see Milwaukee because I'm still reading about Buffalo. Like it's this constant cycle here, man. And I feel like there should be some kind of case study, some sort of psychological review on our citizens, because I really feel like we are more numb to it than we should be.
As it continues to happen, that numbing effect comes with it, unfortunately, because it's no longer, you know, oh my God, this never happens. No, now school shootings happen like all the time now. So it just kind of becomes norm. But the reality that has set in for all of us is you're not safe anywhere. And that's the thing that has come to light, that it doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter what part of the country it's at, what part of the world.
Real quick, there's something
at any time, everywhere.
There's something we got to address in these comments that, you know, we miss life-changing events by the mainstream media, or we don't hear about it because news likes to pick and choose which shootings they cover. How the hell do y'all think that you hear about these things if it's not for local media? Like local media does not get the credit that it deserves for its coverage of these events. Now, granted, the CNNs and the Fox Newses and the MSNBCs of the world, they might not pick up on every event, but like, I just hate when local media is looped in to mainstream media like that, because they do an incredible job of covering their communities. It's not a matter of picking and choosing. So it's just like people will post. I see people post like videos of local news reports and say, like, why is there no coverage of this? Well, that is the coverage. Like, this is the coverage. Like, I don't know. It's baffling. But like, no, man, like mainstream media is not trying to control your message like that, man. Like it just.
Oh, no. I mean, the none of those stories were politically driven. It was just twisted people and terrible situations. And that's it. And they were all covered the same way. I watched it all weekend. On different news channels anyways, and a lot of local channels, actually, because that's what I love about YouTube, man. I'm able to watch local channels all over the country, including like Buffalo stations and things like that, that I was able to watch directly, to watch the coverage in Laguna, to watch the coverage in Milwaukee, to watch the coverage in Buffalo. I watched a lot of it through the local channels there in each of them.
So. And it's like this is 2022. It's a different world than let's say the 1980s, where you needed to rely on the mainstream media in order to get news from around the country. You don't need to do that anymore. You can easily watch a Milwaukee, like you just said, you can easily watch a Milwaukee or a Buffalo local station from Miami. You can watch it from your phone. Like, you don't have to, like, I just, like I said, like, it's just kind of a tired argument to blame the mainstream media. Cause like, do you really need the mainstream media? Like, you're making the conscious decision to watch a national network. You could easily hop on your phone, Google Buffalo, and
I have like on my, I don't know, for those of you that watch, like, I'm a big YouTube TV buff. I love YouTube TV, and I'm signed on. Like, I go through all the major cities and I sign on to all their local affiliates. So I get so on my feed, when it comes in general, I'll start getting headlines from all over the place. It doesn't matter where it's at. And I'm always getting all the local channels from, it doesn't matter if it's Sacramento or if it's Austin, Texas, or if it's Buffalo, or if it's, you know, whatever, you know, in North Carolina, Boone, North Carolina, it's whatever local TV channel, I'll get the headlines from that area. You know what I mean? And so it's actually pretty cool.
If you do the watch
those local broadcasts.
Yeah, just do the little, you know, do the little work. You got to kind of, you got to put in a little work yourself sometimes, but like, yeah, it's not going to be spoon-fed to you by, like, CNN is not going to do, CNN is just simply not going to tell the stories of your community or specific communities better than the community itself. So like, if it's really a concern to you that like the mainstream news isn't covering anything, if your concern is that you are not being properly, I guess, acquiesced to the situation, that you are going to have to go do the work yourself. Like, if the problem is that you don't feel informed enough, inform yourself. Like,
right,
go
right,
find the exactly. conversation. Like, these stories are being covered. You know how many DMs and replies I got? You know how many, of course, but what about Chicago's? Have you heard about this? What about the Christmas parade that got crashed into? That wasn't covered at all.
And I was watching this weekend in Chicago, all the kids were going crazy in that square, And so now Lightfoot just put on a she just put a curfew in Chicago for everybody under 18. By 11 o'clock, you're gone. You can't be out in the street. And if you're not out with an adult, it's not going to be good for you, because they had a whole bunch of kids in the middle of the street over the weekend. They were just kicking and hitting cars as they were driving by. And so, so they're, yeah. But again, that's me watching all kinds of local channels all over the place. So I can,
even if you go on, even if you go on Google, you're reading what a reporter wrote. That I kind of think I see what you're trying to say, but that's how it works, my boy. Like somebody's got covered, somebody's gonna cover it. The trick is, like, you're gonna have to read multiple stories. You're gonna have to read multiple stories from multiple outlets, because while a lot of the same information is generally going to be the same, some outlet might have talked to somebody that another one didn't. That's how you piece it together yourself. But I think my main point is, like, media in general gets a lot of blame for lack of coverage or lack of comprehensive coverage when people aren't taking personal responsibility to go out and do any of the work themselves. Like, either you're not taking responsibility for not having read enough on any particular subject, because there are very few stories around, like major stories like this, that don't get covered into the dirt, man, like that don't get covered to death. Like, you just have to go, you just have to put in a little bit of effort, like a minuscule amount. Of effort to do it. But yeah, got a little sidetracked. Like, I'm still, I'm of course, I'm sports. I made a conscious decision to go into sports instead of news for a reason. But
yeah, but I can't bring you on as a Buffalo reporter and not talk about what happened in Buffalo. And I don't want to avoid also what happened in Buffalo or Laguna or Milwaukee, because obviously it's not something that we should avoid. It's something that we should discuss, unfortunately. All right, let me segue into football now. The Melvin Ingram move. Your thoughts on that one? Because I love the move, personally.
You can never have too many receivers, and you can never have too many pass rushers. And this obviously falls into the latter. When you look at Miami's pass rush rotation, they're the most aggressive unit in the league in terms of, blitz rate. I think they were a tenth of a percentage behind Tampa Bay, but they really only have three main edge rushers, which is, it's Ogba, it's Van Ginkle, and now it's Jalen Phillips. And then, they might use send Landon Roberts, but then there's a reason why Javon Holland and specifically Brandon Jones get set so often, because they don't really have that rotation. They didn't really have that rotation on the edge. This adds quality depth to that rotation. So now in the fourth quarter, no longer those three guys kind of tired. Now in the fourth quarter, you've got Melvin Ingram coming at you when your line is tired, and Jalen Phillips on the other side, or maybe it's Emmanuel Agba on the other side. Maybe they could bounce. Inside. Like, there's so many different things that Phillips, they can do.
Right, Phillips on the inside, you could have actually, and Ingram and the other kid who am I missing now from on the outside. So you can mix it up now, overall. That's this scary part too, if you really want to get after people.
Yeah, it's like I said, you can never have too many pass rushers. I'm really excited for I don't think we're really going to see too much of it in OTA starting on Tuesday, but really excited for the summer and the preseason to see what kind of combinations we get on that defensive line in pass rush situations and see how that impacts their coverage. If they don't have to use Brandon Jones as a pass rusher anymore, if they can use him more in the box, if they can use him more to drop back, I think it's just going to add so many more looks that this defense is going to throw at offenses. And I just think it's the move. It's one of the bigger moves of the offseason, and they've made a lot of big ones, but not really on the defensive side of the ball, to be quite honest. This was, besides, I think it's Keon Crossan, this is their only defensive signing that really comes to mind. This is the only major addition that comes to mind. So, they needed that
they had to focus on the offense, which that was really the priority, which makes a lot of sense. And this is kind of icing on the cake moves for the defense.
Like, it's and what I think we should probably talk about more, and obviously everybody's focus is on the offensive side of the ball. That's why they hire the offensive-minded coach. That's why they trade for Tyreek Hill and they make all these additions. But they're doing a lot of this under the assumption that defense keeps up its level of play from the second half of last season, like that is still a catalyst to this year. Because if they play, if that defense still plays like we saw at weeks 1-7 last year to start the year, I mean, they've got New England, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cincinnati to start the season. If the defense is bullshitting, that's 0-4 to start the year. And all of a sudden, you're in a hole. You can't be in a hole in the AFC this year. So they needed to make as many bolstering moves as possible on defense. It couldn't just be re-sign our own guys. Like, you got to find a way to improve in one way or another. I think that they do that by adding Melvin Ingram, a motivated Melvin Ingram.
What grade did you give the Dolphins this offseason?
Oh, we are – it's an A in climbing, man. It's an A in climbing. They addressed every need. They addressed even positions that weren't necessarily a need. They addressed it with excess. They got quality playmaking star power on both sides of the ball. I love the coaching moves. Like, I don't have a complaint about any spot on that coaching staff. They didn't do anything drastic to overcompensate for a need. I thought that the money that they gave to Teron Armstead is fair compensation for the best free agent on the market and one of the best left tackles in the league. I thought the trade compensation for Tyreek Hill, I mean, I do it 9 times out of 5. Like, this was, like I said, a first and a second. I go, damn, about a third, fourth, fifth, whatever round pick. Don't care. I don't care. Because basically, I mean, you're saying, okay, we traded a fourth string right guard from Middle Tennessee State for Tyreek Hill. Yeah, have four of them. Respectfully, have four of them for Tyreek Hill. Like, it's an A and it's climbing. Now, I think it's going to get an A with a little bit of asterisk. It's incomplete until we see what Mike McDaniel and his staff can actually do on the football field. You know, it's a temporary A until we find out what their scheme is, how they've built chemistry this offseason. Do players respond to him in the face of adversity? I want to see them get down by 2 scores, and I want to see how the team reacts, things like that. So it's a tentative A, but on paper, yeah, man, like, this is one of the better offseasons in the NFL.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a question that you really can't answer based on full-out facts. You might have a taste of a fact, a piece of a fact, a little piece of a nugget, but most of it is probably going to be answered on your gut, okay? Because you can't prove all of the stuff that went on in the past. So I ask you this. In prior off seasons, there were things that happened at one point, and then it was a yin and then a yang. Well, wait a minute. You're going to sign Kyle Van Noy, but then you're going to cut him right after the following year. You're going to sign Flowers, and then you're going to have to be forced to trade him right away. Malcolm Brown, you thrust him in like he's going to be your starting guy over some of the other guys. And then now is he even in the picture now? You know, there were things at times that you just wondered what was going on. Did it seem to you that this offseason was an offseason that there was no interruptions? That it seemed like the front office just flowed and did what they had to do and didn't have to check with somebody or have somebody check them on a consistent basis? Again, not something you can go on a lot of a proof, but you might have to go on a little bit more gut and feel. What did you think about this Dolphin offseason compared to the prior two off seasons?
I mean, I wasn't necessarily here for either of the two prior off seasons. Obviously, I was up in Buffalo, as we know. I mean, this offseason didn't come without any hiccups. There's a massive lawsuit and a coaching search, which, I mean, you almost forget that there was an entire coaching search. You almost forget about the lawsuit because of how many
events. Lawsuit has nothing to do with personnel.
I'm just saying you almost forget
how. I'm talking about football moves. I'm not talking about anything.
I'll get there. I'm saying you almost forget that it happened because of the volume of things from a football perspective that have happened, the volume of moves and trades and signings. And it was just stream of consciousness right there. But, I mean, they got a late start to free agency. I remember that to the major moves of free agency. Obviously, they re-signed Agba, and they bring in Connor Williams and Mostert and Edmonds, and you know, everybody, myself included, said, okay, like, it's fine. These moves are fine. I'm not mad at them. They're not pushing you over the edge. Like, the Raiders are getting Davante Adams and you're getting, you know, Cedric Wilson, respectfully. That's not pushing you over the edge. But then that second week, that's when we really started to see it pick up. So it felt like there was probably a deliberate plan.
They're a patient and deliberate front office. They're not a desperate front office. They don't play that game.
I can appreciate the fact that, like I said before, you know, when you asked me to grade the Dolphins offseason, they didn't make hasty moves. They didn't make desperate moves. They didn't overpay. They didn't overcompensate out of desperation. So, I love what they've done from top to bottom this offseason. I want to see it on the field. You know, I can say I love what they did without being like, okay, Super Bowl or bust. That's it. This is it. Like, I've seen all I need to see. No, like, let's not cap here. I still need to see it come together on the field. And like I said before, like, I really want to see how this team responds. Everything is cool when, you know, again, respectfully, everything is cool when it's no pressure and you've got your coaches rocking Yeezys and a bust down watch at practice with Ray-Bans. Like, it's easy to have fun and games and smile and all that. I want to see what happens if this team is on a 2-game losing streak heading into Thursday night football against the Bengals. I want to see what happens when they get down 2 scores in the first half.
I want to see how
they react to their coach in adversity.
That's all something else. Did it seem like this was an unabridged offseason for them? Did it seem like they were able to work at their pace and they weren't really? In other words, it didn't seem like Mike McDaniel was in the middle of the way of anything, pretty much.
No, I think, like I said, I've said it before, he and Chris Greer were like an old buddy cop video over there at the draft. It seems like they worked well together. He said during his introductory press conference that a major reason he wanted to come here is for the ability to work with Chris Greer. Stephen Ross gave us the little chain of command during that same press conference that, you know, he works under Greer. Greer kind of answers to Stephen Ross, or Greer and Tom Garfinkel answer to Stephen Ross. Like, there's a clear little chain of command there. I think the feng shui looks nice so far. But, you know, what I'm saying is, like, we won't be able to tell who was getting in whose way because shit is still sweet right now. We're still in the honeymoon phase. They haven't touched the football field in any real capacity yet. They do it on, I believe it's Monday it starts. Tuesday we get access, or Tuesday it starts and we get access same day. Well, it doesn't matter. Like, they haven't really had any competition yet. They haven't had real football yet. So it's hard to say. But I think that you don't hire an offensive guru and you don't let him, you know, bring all this offensive-minded staff if you don't give him a say in the type of personnel he needs. So I think Mike even made a joke. It was deadpan, and so you kind of had to be there to really laugh. But he's like, yeah, you know, clearly Chris didn't think I was good enough of a coach to coach the team as constructed. So he had to go out and give me all these good players, like, obviously joking. But it seems like Greer is giving him every chance to succeed. He's given him everything he needs to succeed here.
Follow him on Twitter at Marcel_LJ. And of course, you can catch him twice a week here so you can get the edge, right? All you got to do is go to myedgedrink.com, get 10% off the shipping there. Myedgedrink.com, the most delicious, smooth, and zero aftertaste, the best energy drink on the planet. Marcel, before I let you go, what are you working on at ESPN so Dolphin fans can check you out?
I'm getting my football hat back on, man. Now it's time for overanalyzing season. We got OTAs coming up. It's time to let y'all know who's practicing where, who's not getting reps, who's looking good, who's somebody to watch, who's a cut candidate, all of that. Speculation season, my guy. That's what we're working on here. Plus, got a couple other features under my belt that I'm hoping to pump out by the end of the summer. But we are starting to get back into actual football, man, and I could not be happier, could not be more excited to get back into that. You know, the F1 break was fun. All the little mundane off-season events were fun, but Now it's time to get back to the matter at hand.
There you go. Follow him on Twitter at @Marcel_LJ and catch his work there at ESPN and twice a week here with our Edge Energy Drink Miami Dolphins report. How you doing, my brother?
Doing wonderful, you know. As always, another beautiful day in Miami. Can't complain. You enjoying this Jimbo V. Saban.
You follow college football?
Of course.
Did I ask you?
Of course.
You're Ohio State. You're LSU. No. You're Alabama. Shut up.
Oh, yeah.
Shut the hell up. Okay? You have every resource in the world. And here's the question I have. Let me ask you something. You've been able to work under the table forever, and you're willing to drop off $100,000 in a bag in the middle of the night to some kid's house. So why aren't you willing to give them $50,000 or $100,000 up front and represent your business?
I don't understand, like
Ruiz is doing. He's giving it to FIU players, FAU players, Florida State players, Florida players, UM players, obviously, in all kinds of sports, and they're representing his company. You would figure schools like Alabama, Dabo Sweeney, who's also a little complaining bitch, they would be loving this system because now they can use their people publicly to go after and help them out. Why is it that they're struggling behind the scenes?
For the sake of sportsmanship and amateurism and doing things the right way. Shut up. Shut up. Like, it is willful. You're being willfully obtuse if you're a college football coach and you think none of your players have ever been paid under the table by a booster in any capacity. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Saban's little old man versus a cloud argument about the NIL deals. Your quarterback made $1 million before he hit the field. What are you talking about?
You know what's embarrassing?
I'll turn to one of them.
You go after Jackson State. Like, they get one guy.
I'm sorry, you didn't get a kid that wasn't even committed to you in the first place, Nick? Are you sad about that?
He gets 10 of those guys every year. You're worried about Deion getting one guy. One guy.
$1 million. Like, it is absurd. Like, the hypocritical, like the, yeah, the hypocriticism of every one of these college coaches, Dabo included, and I like Dabo. I know Dabo. I met him. I obviously used to cover him. Met his wife several times. Like, I like Dabo. But the argument about college sports being, losing its amateur status or becoming basically professional sports, it is. I'm sorry. The guys that are profiting off of their name, image, and likeness are the guys who have a future in the NFL anyways. The whole reason that they're in college is to prepare them for the NFL anyways. Who cares? Yep. Who cares? It does not matter. Let these kids make some money. You make $9,000 a year. Let this guy take $25,000, $200,000. I don't give a shit off the top to help his family while he is risking his body.
Amen.
Hopefully get a payday later. Like, it's unbelievable.
And I hate to say this, as a UM fan.
Nick Saban should have been smacked.
I hate to say this as a UM fan.
Absolutely, right now.
I give Ohio State credit because I don't hear Ryan Day complaining about it, and they're playing the NIL game like everybody else. But they're not pointing fingers or anything like that. This is going to be interesting because there's going to be a lot of ex-Alabama coaches that are going to be unnamed sources. And there's going to be reporters now. All of a sudden, they're going to start getting all kinds of information from unnamed sources, and that's going to open up Pandora's box and investigations left and right. So Nick Saban somebody brought this point up, which was excellent. Dougie Fresh just brought it up on the chat board. That's how Lance Armstrong ended up getting, the foot in the air. He wanted others investigated, and then they said, well, wait a minute, dude. You're the biggest cheater in the world. We're going after you now. And
I promise you, first of all, shout out Dougie Fresh. Yes, hypocrisy is the word. I know I get paid to do this, but every now and then, I get so riled up that I forget. I lose my vocabulary a bit. Appreciate you. But yeah, it's incredible that sometimes you know, people don't realize that sometimes you can just say nothing. Just say nothing, because I guarantee you there's a section of the sports media industry right now as we speak that is pulling every source they have, every resource they can into looking into Alabama. Did Nick Saban know at all? Did he have any inkling? Can you put him in the same room as XYZ? Like, now he is about to get audited. His entire history at Alabama is about to get audited because you had to talk shit about a team you're going to beat by 30 come the fall anyways. So, like, it just, like I said, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that Saban would go on such a rant like this, or even have the gall to mention Jimbo Fisher or Texas A&M. Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
It's like you go after people that know where your bodies are buried. I mean, like, what are you, stupid, bro? You know, so this is just, look, somebody, I saw this already and somebody copied it, so I know this is legit. Alabama's athletic budget, $180 million. Nick Saban's salary, $9 million. Jackson State's entire athletic budget, $8 million. JSU player imaginary salary, $1 million. Deion Sanders' salary, $300K.
Mike, you think, like, also, you think one player, I mean, don't get me wrong, the repercussions of Travis Hunter committing to Jacksonville State can be great for that program, because all it takes is one person to say this is a viable program.
And I remember they're trying to get a new stadium there too, so they're in the middle, like, of all of
it's
that,
big,
so
but that, like, let's not play games here and think that one player is going to turn Jacksonville State into some sort of
powerhouse.
Like, they're not about to sneak
Jackson
up on
State. Jackson State will not ever be a power, but you know, it'll get a little notoriety, and already had it anyways with Deion, dude. Please give me a break, man. And what Deion is doing is actually great for society, not just college football. It's about society, what he's doing. He's doing something great for that community. He's doing something great for that school, for those kids, for those players. That means a lot more to a certain group of individuals more than anything else. And you have to understand the impact that he's making. It's a whole different ballgame, dude. So,
yeah,
it's just sad. It's just sad that you would, you know, but you know what? In a way, sometimes karma has a way of working its magic. And maybe this is finally that karma that you've been taking advantage and abusing for so long. Now your emotions got the best of you one night and put you in a position that we just saw it with Will Smith. Will Smith was in the middle of the night of his life, dude, winning the Oscar. And he ruined his ultimate night by doing what he did to Chris Rock at that moment. You know what I mean? And again, that's the power of that emotion at that moment takes over, and then you do something that you regret for a long time to come. And you'll see. Saban's going to regret this. Saban's going to regret this one. This one's definitely going to go after him. All right, let's get to some Dolphins. So, you know, they're not pads, they're not hitting. So I'm not going to ask you football wise anything that really is shocking. But the obvious one is, some say they see a difference. Some say, like Alan Pupar just came on, he didn't notice anything. Omar Kelly says he saw something different. Did Tua look a little better? Did he look a little stronger? Did the arm look stronger? Did you see any difference whatsoever from the Tua that finished last year and the Tua you saw on
Tuesday? The arm looked a little lighter. It looked a little liver. You know, there's some zip to his ball. We didn't see him try to push a lot to the outside, outside the hashes. So, like, I still need to see him. I'd like to see him, you know, send a couple balls to the sideline. A lot of what we saw on Tuesday was over the middle, but good touch on the deep ball to Preston Williams. Great zip on a ball to Mike Gesicki over the middle. Matter of fact, I thought it was about to be intercepted because Javon Holland, from maybe 10 yards out, read it perfectly. And he couldn't get there in time. Ball got there faster. So I thought, you know, he had some zip to it. It wasn't like, you know, I'm not like falling out of my seat watching to a play. Like,
that's not ever going
to
be him.
Yeah. I want to like temper expectations here, but the ball looked a little, it looked like it had some zip to it. But it's kind of difficult to tell because, you know, And Jaylen Waddle looked excellent, but Tyreek Hill is as advertised, the fastest human I think I've ever seen. But they were also cooking Keon Crossan on the outside at cornerback. So, like, you got to, like, again, temper expectations here. These are OTAs. You can only put so much stock into this until training camp. Training camp, when things like that start happening, then I would be like, okay, like, guys, it's happening. This is real. But OTAs, we heard Mike McDaniel say that, you know, the science supports OTAs not really being so beneficial for veterans. It's just kind of like adding.
I agree with that.
It's unnecessary. Like, Xavien Howard is a three-time Pro Bowler, right? Three-time Pro Bowler, a first-team All-Pro. What does he need OTAs for with the
Teron
same?
Teron Armstead does not need to be running around right now, bro. Let him keep rapping and relaxing. I'm good with that with Teron Armstead.
Yeah. So, and also I see Mike, who media reporting policies. I can't tell you who practiced on what team. No, I can't tell you.
I know, but I told him earlier.
But I can tell you that I saw Jaylen Waddle beat Keon Crossan. I'm not going to tell you who else was on the line with him. I'm not going to tell you if he was first, second, third team. But I can tell you, you know, who did that. And if not, then I'm going to get a call from Ann Noland here pretty soon, and I won't do it again. But as far as my understanding of the policy is, yeah, I just can't tell you who's lining up. You know, guys are mixing in first, second, third team. Like, I can't be specific, but I'm not going
to
tell you.
There's not real hitting going on anyway, so there's really nothing to really talk about anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not like – it's not – there's nothing – I don't think I've said anything that, like – I don't think I've said anything that nobody else has written already about Tuesday's practice. So, but, yeah, there's some major vets that weren't there.
Surprise you. Their size, their speed, their, you know, somebody you, I'm not talking about Tyreek Hill because that's obvious. I'm talking about, I don't know, Eric Uzakama. If you saw something from him that you're like, hey, wait a minute, or anybody else, bro, anybody
not
that,
necessarily, but like, you got to remember, we were only out there for maybe an hour. Like, we only saw like about an hour's worth of practice, there for an hour and a half, and the first 30 minutes of which are stretching and then position drills. So, no, I don't think that I don't think so. One thing that I did notice off to the side, though, is, you know, Teron Armstead was not participating in practice, but he was out on the field still coaching guys up on the sideline, like still coaching guys up while they were doing team drills. He's got, you know, an unnamed player, you know, in front of him, teaching him technique and showing him, like, this is how you kick, this is how you slide step, this and that. So I think, I mean, that just shows a lot of leadership very early on in his Dolphins tenure. I think that's a positive sign.
Was Larnell Coleman taking in that practice well?
From my understanding, yeah, but you can't put too much stock into the line and without pads, or until you get pads on, like it don't really matter. Don't really matter all that much. But I did think that, you know, regardless of who that he was running routes against, I really did like Jaylen Waddle's route running. I think it looks a lot sharper, a lot crisper than last season. But maybe more aerodynamic since he cut the dreads off.
There you go. I was going to ask that. Is he a little more aerodynamic there?
Yeah. It's going to be a fun offense to watch, I think. But again, we've only seen one practice. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be at the next one. We've got a Rider Summit up in Bristol, Connecticut.
Ooh, it's so fun.
That I'll be at. So I'll try to monitor from afar. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's
you can't wait to go to Bristol, huh?
I cannot wait to go to Bristol. No. Hey, look, man, I got American gold
you
status.
Go to the Bristol Hotel, room 515. That's the one you got to go to.
I got American Airlines gold status after the Tennessee trip. No. After the combine. And I haven't been anywhere since. I've been waiting to use this. So I might bring clubs with me, man. Like, I get a free bag now, get a free upgrade. Who's going to Hartford, Connecticut Airport? Who's going to Bradley International? Man, I might be able to slide in first class on the way there from Miami nonstop.
Is there a must-go restaurant for you when you go to Bristol?
No.
Okay.
I don't personally have one, but I've only been twice.
Good for you. You haven't had to go there that much.
Well, the thing is, like, so I went from my interview.
Right.
in 2019. And then I went for like our orientation training later that July. And then COVID hit. So we didn't have our summit. We usually do like the summit and then we do that mock draft from the headquarters. And like, you know, we're all on the stage and blah, blah, blah. And, but we didn't do it in 2020 and then we didn't do it again in 2021. So I haven't actually been in about 3 years, which is insane to think about. But I actually hadn't even comprehended that until this moment where, wow, I've really been with this company for this is my fourth season. That's a dream come true. But yeah, I haven't been in a while, man. I think we actually just opened it back up, opened campus back up for employees not that long ago. So we're still, you know, it's exciting that we're able to do this. I still got coworkers that I haven't met before. So I'm happy to finally put faces to names and get off the internet when talking to these people and, you know, really connect, hopefully come back a better reporter, some fresh ideas and fresh coverage plans and all of that.
Okay. All right, good stuff there. Marcel Louis Jacques joining us in our Edge Energy Drink. Remember, Edge Energy Drink, delicious, smooth, zero aftertaste, only 78 calories, and you can order it at myedgedrink.com. Great elixir, too, with a little vodka, a little rum. You're going to enjoy it, too. Also, Edge Energy Drink, myedgedrink.com. Use my code BIGO to get 10% off of your shipment. All right. So there you go. Myedgedrink.com. Give me something at the ESPN complex that you would never think they have this and they have this. What would it be?
Intramural sports. Full gym, full basketball court and everything, leagues and all of that. Softball across the street, I believe. See, what else do you think? Would y'all never think we have? So, there's a hallway. Okay, I got one. There's a hallway coming from, I forget what the building is called, but the bridge, it's going to where the cafeteria is. And the cafeteria is legendary. Legendary. Like, I'll try to take a picture of it when I'm there. Okay. But the hallway, there's a touch screen before you enter it. And you can pick your school. And so, like, Arizona State when I was there. And it'll play your fight song as you walk through the hallway. And I think that's the coolest thing in the world. Like,
that's super cool, dude. That is super freaking cool. That you get to play your alma mater's fight song and walk through the hallway.
This might be my creative brain wishing or visualizing. I want to say there's like TV screens or like monitors that'll like flash images of whatever school you choose as you walk through it, but I could be making that up. I don't know. Okay. But the fight song, absolutely real.
Well, record it next time. When you go up now, hit it and then walk through and record it. That way
I have to now.
You know, and we get to experience it.
There we go.
You know? And really, if you really want to tug at our hearts, you do Canes.
Play to you?
Yeah. You do Canes. Yeah, bro. You do a little Canes. You're Arizona State. And then go back again and do a Cane one at the same time, just you know, you're in South Florida, bro. You know, you want to endear yourself to the people down here. We know you're a Sun Devil. We respect that. We know you got all the women. We got you. Playboy's number one party school. We got you. You know, give us a little Cane's love at the ESPN facility. That's all I'm saying.
Well, if there's time.
Wow, if there's time. Wow.
I'm going to try. It's a rigid schedule, man. A lot of people to meet, a lot of hands to shake.
What's the best food they make in the cafeteria?
See, that one's tough because I've only had it twice. But so I know that it's
a short amount of time. What has been your thing?
It's been 3 years. I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Right. But I remember there was a lot of options. Like, I remember there was a lot of options. There's stations, you know, like, international pizza, sandwich, and panini and grills, like salad, but like not just regular salad. Like you can get a legitimate salad, you know, like Caesar grilled chicken and whatever else you want to add to it, chickpeas, whatever floats your boat. But it's extensive. The cafeteria is extensive. And then you just never know who you're going to run into in there. Like, so it's, it really is, man. Like I ran into Kevin and Gandhi over there during my first visit. When we do during our interview process, part of it is the you have to do a like a read, like a studio read. And so what they do is they bring it to the NFL live set, sit you down on the desk with somebody, and then they run it like it's a real show. And they just ask you like live questions. I was a Panthers supporter at the time. So they just they asked me some Panthers questions. I talked to Jack Collinsworth back when he was with us. And like all the while, like they had literally just wrapped NFL Live for the day. So like Louis Riddick is walking off the stage. Dan Graziano is walking off the stage. And Dan actually stuck around to watch that hit and like give me some pointers afterwards. And
he's a Miami guy, right?
I did not. I thought I knew he was an NFC East guy.
He worked for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, man.
Actually, I did. That does sound familiar.
No, yeah, next time you see him, if you see him up there, he's a South Florida guy, man. Sunset. So,
no, he's a great dude. Like we've kept in touch ever since. A great dude. And
I've been very impressed with him because, you know, he did the transition from writer to go and being an on-air guy. And that's not an easy thing for a lot of writers. It's hard for them to do that and be good at it. And he's done a really good job of it. I give him a lot of props. I admire him. He does good work, man. Well, by the way, folks, remember you can order myedgedrink.com. Save 10%. Use my code Big O to get the best energy drink on the planet. Edge Energy Drink, delicious, smooth, and zero aftertaste. What are you working on ESPN, folks, so folks can check you out, Marcel?
Oh, I've got story coming out on Friday, more or less previewing what this phase of OTAs and the offseason is all about. Got another one coming next week on fantasy impacts of the Dolphins wide receivers, what to expect from, numbers wise from Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, considering all the apps or the options available. Try to juxtapose it against numbers of his pass catchers, McDaniel's pass catchers in San Francisco, and, you know, maybe add some reasonable expectations here as we move forward. Then other than that, like I said, kind of rolling with the punches here. It's about that time of year where we get a quick ramp up before it slows to a stop. And then we are right back in the weeds again come the end of July. So just really excited for this next couple months. And I'm just glad to be back. I've said it a couple times, man. This is the fastest offseason I think I've ever been a part of, knock on wood. But Miami is never boring. And that's what my agent told me when I got here, and he has never lied to me before.
That is true. That is true. It never is boring. That's for sure. We're always interesting down here. Follow him on Twitter at Marcel_LJ. Catch his work there at ESPN. And, of course, catch him twice a week here exclusively with our Edge Energy Drink Miami Dolphins report. You now have the edge. Marcel, thank you. We catch up next week, my friend. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. See y'all soon.
You got it. That's Marcel Louis Jacques.